Welcome to the Women Influencers in Business and CRE podcast. I am Veronica Malolas, CCIM, founder and CEO of Capstack Commercial, a commercial real estate company serving the greater Orlando area. Today, I am interviewing my very first male guest in my women's podcast. A huge advocate of advancing women in commercial real estate, Robin Webb is one of the top brokers in the hotel industry, a CCIM instructor, the 2017 CCIM Global President, and one of my personal mentors. Please don't forget to hit that thumbs up button and subscribe below. I welcome your comments and please share with someone who can benefit from this podcast.
Good morning, Robin. How are you today?
I'm doing well, Veronica. It's good to see you again.
Likewise, it's always good to see you. So thank you for gracing our podcast. I know that it's so exciting for me because you are my first male guest in a women's podcast. And the reason for that, just for the sake of our audience, is that you have been such an advocate, not just for me, but for women in commercial real estate. So I am so excited for you to share your story with us. So let's begin. So tell us, Robin, how you grew up in your environment and how you got to where you are today.
My environment was very different from most people. As a child, I grew up very poor and left home at 14, became self-supporting. So I've been on my own for a long, long time. Worked at a lot of things as I was going through college and through high school and college. And fortunately, as I was a senior in high school, I had the opportunity to live with my father. And my parents were divorced when I was five.
And which state did you grow up in?
I grew up between Georgia and Florida, pretty much. My dad lived in a small town outside of Atlanta. Unfortunately, he had a heart attack when I was a senior in high school, and I had the opportunity to go live with him for that year and for my first year of college. And so had an opportunity to see a different side of life than what I had seen as a 14-year-old on the streets. So was always driven because of the way I grew up, always had a commitment to be something other than poor. And so was not afraid to work hard, worked full-time through high school, full-time through college. When I got out of college, actually, while I was still in college at 19, had an opportunity to go to work in the sales side of the hotel business. And so as a result of that, I spent the next 13 years or so in the hospitality industry, running a couple of dozen hotels around the southern part of the United States, traveling 7 days a week, decided I needed to find somewhere I could work that I could stay at home. And I didn't want to be a hotel manager again.
So just for context, how many hotels did you actually run?
At that time, I had 28 hotels I was responsible for.
Wow.
So when I decided to get out of the hotel business, I did what's commonly known as a Ben Franklin balance sheet, where you sit down with a legal pad, draw a line down the center, and say, here are my assets and here are my objectives. Well, the asset side was very short. I knew a lot about hotels because I'd been doing it since I was 19. And I knew a little about sales because that's how I'd gotten into the hotel business. So I knew about sales and I knew about hotels. And I thought when I had nowhere else to live and no commitment to do anything, I had a blank slate. So I decided to become a hotel broker. The only problem I had was I didn't have a real estate license and I didn't know anything about brokerage. So I figured, as you might imagine, at 32 years of age, being a vice president of a fairly large company, I was very confident, we'll say, that the world would beat a path to my door. So when I started looking around Orlando for commercial real estate companies that sold hotels, there were none. When I started looking around Orlando for commercial real estate companies, there was one, and it was Florida Ranch Lands, and they sold land.
So let me ask you, about what year was that?
That was in 1978. So I bought a nightclub and went to real estate school during the day and interviewed with a number of firms that said they would allow me to do commercial, but they didn't know anything about it. So went to work for an ERA franchisee, immediately went back to school and got my broker's license, got the education to get my broker's license. And in those days in Florida, you could get a broker's license at the end of 1 year. So after selling residential for 1 year and frankly doing very well, I've opened my own company to sell hotels with no knowledge about commercial real estate, no background in commercial real estate, and no one to mentor me.
Right. And you had a very deep background in hotels, which is probably where your confidence came from.
Well, it is. And I had been fortunate enough to be on the board of directors for the Florida Hotel Association when I was in my early 20s. And so I knew that in order to make a success in any kind of real estate, I had to prospect. So I got on the phone and called the people I knew from the Florida Hotel Association and talked to them about hotels. And fortunately, for the first few years I was in the business, I could talk about hotels and how a buyer could make it better and what we could do to change their revenue mix and how we could impact their operations expenses. And so when I showed a hotel, we talked operations, not real estate. And finally, along the way, 3 years after I was in the business, came CCIM into my world. And so I went to CCIM, and CCIM taught me real estate. So I had the hotel background already under my belt and had the opportunity to learn real estate through a great organization. So CCIM has had a major role in my life and has shaped most of what I've done in my career.
That's awesome. I mean, I could say the same for myself. And of course, I have you to thank for just encouraging me to get my CCIM designation. Well, tell me a little bit about your involvement with CCIM as part of your story, of course.
I got involved immediately when I became a candidate and started serving on Florida committees. Eventually served on every committee there was in the state of Florida and became president of Florida in the late 90s, 1997. At the same time, was involved nationally and became treasurer under a female president, by the way, our Cynthia Shelton, our second female president, and served her during that year on the finance side. Cynthia and I have been dear friends for many years, both before and after those years, and she continues to be, I'm proud to say, to this day. She had had a lot to do with my involvement in that our friendship shaped a lot of what I wanted to do and the people I wanted to be around. And I found that the CCIMs were professionals, that they were logical in what they did, that they had integrity. And those things were important to me because I wanted to be a part of an organization that could be a beacon for people coming up in the business, both male and female. And there was never in the organization any differentiation between gender. No one ever said, we don't want women in this role or we don't want men in this role. There was never any discrimination with regard to race or nationality. And it was one of the things that I've always enjoyed about the Institute is that it's a neutral ground. There are opportunities for anyone who is willing to work for those opportunities.
CCIM in itself, for anyone who wants to enter that space, really already had shown commitment and proficiency and this desire to be a part of this very professional organization. So yeah, it's great to hear your side of things as far as from your lenses.
Well, it's always been a great environment for me and one that I'm proud of. I've had the opportunity to serve in lots of roles. I think the credibility that I received from CCIM early on helped me to build a very successful little company. I subsequently sold it after a half a dozen years to the firm, which eventually became Coldwell Banker Florida. So at that point, I ran Coldwell Banker Commercial for Orlando initially, and shortly thereafter ran Coldwell Banker Commercial for the state of Florida, and always operated in that environment until the end of the recession years, bought into the local NAI affiliate and was a partner there for 6 or 7 years, which is where you and I had the opportunity to work together.
Yes.
And after 7 years there, I believe it was, decided that I wanted to take a different tact. And so formed my own organization again and now run a little boutique in Orlando. But CCIM has always been the backdrop of all of that.
Well, and speaking of CCIM Institute, you were eventually, you became the Institute president, which is a global presidency, in 2017. So I wanted to move on to the next question, which is, if there was one thing that you are most proud of as far as advocacy for women, especially in commercial real estate, and I know that this ties into your global presidency, what would that be?
There are a couple of things. One is the classroom environment. As you know, I'm a senior CCIM instructor. And we're seeing more and more engagement, more and more involvement from women in real estate coming into the CCIM courses, broadening their platform, broadening their opportunities, most importantly, as they prepare themselves on a highly professional level. I think secondly, I had the opportunity as I was coming up in the CCIM organization to see an awful lot of people do an awful lot of work.
Hopefully not awful work.
No. No, but an awful lot of work. And as part of that process, decided that as I was able to affect that, that I'd make a concentrated effort to do so. So when I was president-elect, and the way the operation works is when you're president-elect, you choose your chairs for the following year. I had the opportunity to bring into play those people I thought would be good contributors to the organization who would broaden their own involvement based on commitments. And I focused on that across the board. And I had, as a result of that opportunity, I had the privilege of being able to appoint about 65% of my leadership as women. It gave me the opportunity to bring some of those people along who hadn't necessarily had an opening to do so in the past. And so, as you know, today, as we sit here in 2024, one of my committee chairs, who is a woman out of Dallas, is president of the CCIM Institute, I'm proud to say.
Well, yes. And she is only the fourth female president, and hopefully we're working towards more women in that top leadership role. So I wanted to ask you, Robin, if there was one piece of advice, and not necessarily for the women that are listening in, but also for the men that may be listening in, what would that be?
If you're going to do well in commercial real estate, arm yourself as early as you can. Take on the armament of knowledge. Take on the armament of discipline. This is a business that requires a fair amount of redundancy if you're going to do well. Be mindful of the fact that you must know what you're doing before you sit in front of a professional investor. Be mindful of the fact that having that knowledge will help you achieve. But be mindful of the fact that you have to stay continually motivated, driven, and disciplined to do the work. With all the knowledge in the world, if you're not motivated or disciplined to do the work, the outcome is non-existent. So I think arm yourself with knowledge, but equip yourself with the commitment to go out and do the job.
And if you are a male leader in an organization or a corporation, what would your advice be as far as further advocating for women in the workplace or in your business?
Well, as you well know, I only believe looking at the person and the person's willingness to commit. You and I have had the privilege of working together side by side And the opportunity lies within the commitment that comes from the individual, not the gender that drives it, not the race that drives it. It is about the individual's commitment to succeed in that position. I think of some of the ladies that worked with us at the NII operation, and I think about Yelena Gertovenko, who, as you know, was my personal assistant for 20 years. When she came to work for me, she couldn't speak English very well. But she's loyal and she works hard and she committed to do the job. And there were times, then you don't know this story, when she first came to work for me, that she would trade off work when I would ask her to make phone calls with other ladies in the office who were working as various assistants roles. And she would do their computer work because she was a whiz, but she would have them do the phone call so she didn't have to, until we had a conversation about it. She still succeeds every day in that business and does very well at it. Patty Porter, as you know, was an office manager extraordinaire for me, which we brought up from a one-person shop to running a 65-person office. People I'm very, very proud of. Even though they may not be in top management, they have succeeded in every sense of the word. There are lots of opportunities for men and women in this business to succeed on the sales side. And if you're good at selling, you can be good at almost anything in this business, as long as you have the fundamentals and you understand the tools.
Well, I love that perspective, because pretty much what you're saying is, if you're a woman and you want to enter into a circle, make sure that you are putting in your best foot forward and that you are showing your commitment so that people can open doors for you just like anybody else. So that's great. This is the moment in the interview where I get to hand the microphone over to you, so to speak. And you had a question for me, so please go ahead and ask.
Well, knowing how long you've now been in the business, the commercial real estate business, not the real estate business, I'm curious to see if you have seen a changing of roles in the business. And if so, how have they changed?
That's a great question. So thank you for asking that. I think that what I'm seeing now, as compared to before, and of course, I've been in commercial real estate 10 years now, would you believe it? But I think that there are two stages that have been accomplished in our industry. The first being the awareness that we need a little bit more diversity, a little bit more awareness to the fact that for the sustainability of our industry, we need to be open to the changes in population that we serve, and also those that want to serve that population, that diverse population. And the second progress that I've seen is intentionality. Now, you, I believe, you're one of the first real few men that are in leadership that have been so intentional about making sure, as you had said, you had intentionally been appointing women to leadership positions. Just from the personal point of view, you have opened doors for me and for so many others. And there should be more of you. And I think that's really the progress that needs to be made over the next few years. I mean, the next generation is coming up. And being aware of what we need to do, I think, is just so important. So that's the answer to your question. And I appreciate that so much. Look, Robin, I cannot thank you enough. And I think I've said this over the years that we've worked together and post working together, that you have been so instrumental in my personal career and success. And so I want to thank you on behalf of every woman that you've touched and opened doors for. I really want to thank you for all the work that you've done as I call you a giant in this industry. As a matter of fact, that's how I described you in an article that's going to come out that is featuring me in ICSC. So you have been Yep, you have been a giant in this industry and in my journey. And so I want to thank you for all the work that you've done for advocating for women. And so I just want to ask you, do you have any parting words before we say goodbye?
Just a couple of things. When you talk about whether it's a male in leadership or a female in leadership in this industry, as you know, I am married to a powerful, successful commercial real estate lady who is both a CCIM and an SIOR, and was Woman of the Year, by the way, in the state of Nevada a few years ago. So a lady who certainly stands on her own ground. The other thing I would point out to brokers who are considering employing or not employing and making a decision based on whether or not someone is a male or female is you need to recognize the fact that more of your customers are females.
That's right.
Especially in the corporate world. And as you know, I deal in the corporate environment more than anything else. More and more of my clients are women. And I find that at the brand level as a hotel expert, that a number of major corporations I deal with today have their primary people that I'm dealing with as women in those roles. So if you're naive enough to still be making decisions on gender in 2024, you may want to rethink your approach or you may lose some business.
That's right. I totally agree with you on that. Well, thank you so much, Robin, for spending the time with me and for sharing your thoughts. And I do appreciate you so much. So thank you again.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.